Good morning, Power Hour Nation. Welcome to the Power Hour Radio Show. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com are our two websites. And I am your honored host. In case you've never met me, I'm Daniel Brigman. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have a special guest. He'll be here shortly. He's on hold right now. Very excited to have him. He's a personal friend, and I haven't really talked to him a lot in a while, so this will be cool. His name's Ronnie Price, and I think you'll love him. I call him a superstar. He always is in my eyes, and I think you will appreciate him also. The second hour today, George is usually fills on Thursday. I came in specially for Ronnie, and he'll have Scott Bennett on. They're going to talk about the virus, what's going on in China, you know, a lot of information all over the board. What is the truth about China? Certainly what's coming out of the state government there certainly seems conflicting with what people on the streets are saying. That's an obvious. United States Declaration of Independence. A 6-year-old Down syndrome girl was fooling around with her class and it took her fingers like a gun and pointed at her teacher. Well, what did she get for her trouble? A police visit, if you can believe that. In Valley Forge, George Washington. It's getting out of control. Jeffrey Epstein, you know that story, doesn't seem to want to die, even though they tell us that he's dead. But money is still moving from the Epstein accounts, and now it's been confirmed, it's being reported in multiple places, that his secret bank account is having millions of dollars moved from it. That's hard to do when you're dead, I would think. I don't know. Maybe somebody's involved. Who knows? Anyway, J.P. Morgan, this big story of Zero Hedge, which is hitting this morning. J.P. Morgan, we've known for years, has been at the heart of silver and gold trading. The government has targeted them, the DOJ, now for racketeering and manipulating the gold and silver prices. Now they're going to go after them. That's a big story out of Zero Hedge, so you can check out that and many more stories over at thepowerhour.com. Thepowerhour.com. Don't forget the, and then you can just click news. So there you go. And also thepowermall.com, any of the great products. Thank you for your support, your purchases, your donations. Now, who you've all been waiting for, and I'm very excited to have on, Ronnie. I met him, I don't remember the year, it was early 2000s at college. I used to work for the athletic department for a school in Utah Valley, and that's where I met Ronnie. Ronnie grew up in Texas. He played the high school basketball in Friendswood, Texas, and then came to a community college and then was recruited to UVU, Utah Valley University. Not exactly the career path, which is a pipeline to the NBA. That shows you how outstanding and recognized that Ronnie became for who he is and his talent. And from there, it was very cool being involved, seeing his ascent. We were interacted quite a bit. We played a lot of horse. He is the best horse player I have ever played. It is like killing Dracula to beat him in horse. And I consider him a friend. His story is inspiring. We'll get to it. Ronnie, welcome to the Power Hour today.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. You know, all the times that we played horse, I mean, I don't know if people understand what horse is. In case you don't know, basketball, you get a shot, and then if you make a shot, then I have to go after you. I have to make it. If I miss it, then I get a letter, so it spells horse. So that's the game of horse, pretty standard. We were literally, ladies and gentlemen, we'd play in the gym quite a bit there at the arena, and we're talking off the court, one leg on the raft, on the benches there, off the court, leg on the benches, throwing the, I hit a shot. I was finally going to beat Ronnie. I beat him one time, but I was finally going to beat him. I had my leg on the bench, off the court, threw a shot, made it. So then it's Ronnie's turn. What does Ronnie do? Nails it. Swish. Didn't even hit the net. I couldn't believe it. I about fell on the floor. Anyway. Ronnie, do you have any, you know, it's been quite a while. You've come a long way since those days of playing me and horse in the gym there. When you look back at that time, what goes through your mind?
Oh, man, just great memories. You know, I was a gym rat, and it was always fun to, you know, have close friends that love to be in the gym as well. So, you know, my memories of that time are always just amazing, man, just a great time. And some of those horse games, they're pretty epic. And I don't know if I ever pulled out the two ball shot on you, but that's kind of my go-to when I feel threatened. You know,
so you're saying you didn't feel threatened is what you're saying.
Well, you know, if you didn't see two basketballs coming to play, you know, shooting them at the same time, one with the left and one with the right, then, yeah, but I guess I was in control of those horse games.
I did beat you once. I want that on the record. I want that in public airways. I did beat you once.
I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about your story, because no matter what we talk about, just Friendswood, Texas to the NBA and a long career in the NBA is pretty inspiring, and it's a pretty long distance. How in the world did you go from, you know, lightly recruited high school athlete to UVU to the NBA? Talk about that journey.
I don't know, man. I loved the game and fell in love with the game and thought deeply about the game. And I was always emotionally tied to it. So my goal was always to play as long as I possibly could. And the first goal was to get a college scholarship. And just to let everyone know, I mean, I was a 5'7", 17-year-old graduate. When I graduated high school, I was 5'7". In my senior year, I broke my wrist. So it wasn't a lot of colleges interested in a 5'7" basketball player with a broken shooting wrist.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, the odds were kind of weren't in my favor. But, you know, it kind of worked out to where I had an opportunity to play at Nicholls State. I was classified as a walk-on the first semester and then got a scholarship the second semester there. And then I began to grow. Went from 5'7" to 6 foot, and then went from 6 foot to 6'2". Eventually found my way at Utah Valley, and, you know, kind of, I guess you would say, my game caught up to my height. And, yeah, man, it just moment after moment of these situations in my life to where I thought that, you know, my dream to continue to play basketball wouldn't happen. I declared, you know, to the NBA draft as a senior at Utah Valley and didn't get drafted. So here I am again, just like in high school, without getting any scholarship offers. I didn't have any professional teams that were interested in me enough to draft me. And then I had to go and make a team. I played with the Sacramento Kings in the summer league and became one of the few guys in NBA history to sign a 2-year guaranteed contract as an undrafted rookie. And that's kind of, you know, how it all came into play. And man, let me interject
and I, you know, you're being a little, you know, you're being humble. That's just the person that you are. Let me interject from my perspective and some of the things that I saw during this that were fascinating. You know, it's not many times I get to interview somebody I actually, you know, I know the story. I'm friends with them. So I'll interject a lot here. But, you know, I worked at UVU in the athletic department. I always loved athletics, super fun, enjoyed it. I had some health problems, so I'm kind of a frustrated athlete. So I worked in the athletic department. I know talent. You know, I could see talent, and I have I saw something in Ronnie. His junior year, we played BYU. I say we, UVU played BYU. BYU is like the big rival. You got to understand, it's almost like Duke and North Carolina on a much smaller scale, but it's talk about proximity. They're right next to each other's schools. And BYU would never play UVU because it was like the redheaded stepchild, and it was a big deal. So we went to the BYU game. And Ronnie, in the first half, you know, and they got NBA, BYU's a big, well-known, you know, people go to the pros, whatever. Ronnie was there, and I think the first half, correct me if I'm wrong, you scored like 25 points in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think it was 20, maybe to be exact. But, yeah, no, it was, that was kind of like, I guess you would say, an out, outbreak game.
Yes, it was a big deal, and you could tell. I already knew there's something special about Ronnie. I could see it. The people around him kind of knew it, but NBA, whatever, that not necessarily on their mind. But Ronnie, when he's put in situations like that, when his back's against the wall or things that were, the moment was never too big for him. And that moment, which was probably one of the biggest in his career up until that point, that was probably the biggest with everything in the community and all that. He totally showed out. The second half, I'll just say it like it is, the referees totally screwed UVU over in the second half, and we lost. But Ronnie, I think, got a lot of people's attention from there. We started to get the next, I don't remember if it was the end of that year, but the next year, his senior year, there started to be scouts come to the game. Now, so you got to know, I was involved with game management. So I would, help teams, get them set up before the game if the team needed something. I didn't mess with Coach Hunsanker. He was the basketball coach. I didn't mess with him very much. I just stayed out of his way, and we both got along just fine for the most part, especially on game day. But then scouts would come to me, and they would kind of ask me questions, and I could see their interest. And I was always so happy to tell them the kind of person you were. And a couple of them kind of could tell, they thought that they would value my opinion after they listened to me a little bit. And they asked me, can Ronnie make it in the NBA? And I told them, I said, nothing is too big for Ronnie. Ronnie will make it in the NBA. Nothing is too big for him. And so I think that surprised them. Then nobody drafted you. Still nobody drafted you, but you had opportunities. I mean, that's what I felt about you. And so when I call you a superstar, and this is mainly for the audience to understand for what I feel for it, it's Ronnie beat the odds. Ronnie won the lottery, so to speak, but he didn't do it by, buying a ticket. He did by hard work, by the person he is, by the character, by a lot of people around him. Coach Hunsaker had a lot to do with it. And it was a fascinating process to watch. And then he got to the NBA. Before we go forward to the NBA, talk about Coach Hunsaker preparing. I know you got a good agent that helped you when you got, as you were making these decisions. Talk about that whole process. What was going on in your mind?
Well, I mean, first off, I appreciate you putting in a good word with the scouts. I never knew that, so I appreciate that.
Why wouldn't I?
I mean, look, I would be an idiot to think that anything that happened in my life happened only because of me. So I just always have appreciated every person, every step of the way that's had some type of influence on my life or my past. And it's been an extreme blessing to be associated with just good people along the way, because without those friends, without those family members, without, the acquaintances, I definitely would have never had an opportunity to fulfill my dream of playing the league. And you mentioned Hunsaker. Hunsaker was just another piece of that path, a piece of the puzzle of my life that was really, really crucial in my development as a basketball player, as a man, just from all aspects of the game. He taught me so much, and just so grateful for him and his role in my life. He was, this guy that everyone feared in the basketball community because he's intense and he cares and he's passionate. But all those qualities, were the same qualities that I had about the game. I was just a little bit more, I guess you would say, quiet about it. But deep down in my core, there was always this fire that was burning. There was always this extra chip, extra edge on my shoulder that, I was always battling within myself to challenge myself even further, to do things that other people didn't think I would be capable of doing. But Hunsaker came to my house in Friendswood, met with my family, and, the recruiting process, that's how it started. And when he left the house, my mom looked at me and said, "You're not going and playing for that man." And when
I'm laughing, audience, because I know Hunsaker. I love Dick Hunsaker. I mean, I play golf with him a lot. I love Dick Hunsaker. I totally get that. It's hilarious.
So, and in my mind, after all the coaches that I had talked to, I knew right away that I was going to go play for that guy. You know, it was not even a doubt in my mind. I didn't care that he was in Utah. I didn't care the name of the school. I just wanted to play for that coach. Because my only intention with the game of basketball was to get better and to utilize any resources around me to help me accomplish that. And Hunsaker, from day one, there was something that he had inside of him that resonated deeply with me. So I told
my mom.
What
did your mom say? What did mom say when
she said, she is like, okay, you're on your own. You know, hey, I wish you well, son. Right. She wanted me to stay close to Texas. I mean, let's really be honest. And she didn't know anything about Utah, and neither did I. But I will say, within the first 2 weeks of being there in Utah, major culture shock. And the first practice, oh my goodness. I mean, he went from being intense to just an entirely different level. And I was like, okay, this is what I signed up for. Let's do it. Now, 2 weeks in, I called my mom and I was like, oh man, I miss home. My mom was like, I don't want to hear it. You wanted to go there. You wanted to go there. Look, that's your choice. You better figure out a way to make it work. And me and Hunsaker over the years just became great friends. And I live close by him now, and we golf almost every morning that we can when the weather's good. And just grateful to have him in my life.
Oh, that's so cool. So people understand. You know, Ronnie, we're talking about from a small school and whatever, NBA walk-on. You got to understand, in college, he became the man, like the stud. He was the man on the court, and the offense ran through him, and he was the leader, and he set the tone. And he was, correct me if I'm wrong, you were top five in the nation in scoring your senior year, if I'm right, or something like that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was leading the nation in scoring my senior year. And then, of course, NBA scouts start coming to the game, and they're like, hey, we want to see him play, you know, the point guard position, which means they want to see me pass the ball more and kind of run the offense. So, you know, needless to say, I started trying to be more of a point guard, and I ended up finishing third overall in the nation in scoring, which, you know, that was still an amazing accomplishment for me.
Absolutely.
Kind of, you know, how that worked.
And so you went from leading scorer, the offense runs through you, the UVU basketball world revolved around you. I mean, let's just be honest. It was everybody was excited. You know, that says a lot about you also, Ronnie, and the kind of person you are, because, I don't know if you felt this or saw it or whatever, but the people around you, the people that I saw in the athletic department, what have you, we were all had like a bit of pixie dust on us because we were associated with you in a way. It like lifted our spirits. It was inspiring. We were watching something in front of us. It was really cool to watch. Did you feel that? Did you know that?
I didn't really. I mean, I felt the love and the support, and I felt connected to that school. I mean, I had an opportunity to leave Utah Valley and go to the ACC and play, you know, I had multiple offers from these big, big name schools. And, you know, they promised me the world. I was going to have a chance to play an NCAA tournament and do all these great things that all college sports is, you know, kind of hyped around, I guess. But it didn't feel right. I was loyal to the community, to the fans. And to, you know, my teammates and Coach Hunsaker. So I didn't really care about the big name schools, even though I knew I would have been playing on national TV majority of the nights.
Your mom would have been happier.
Well, you know, she would have, but to me, it wasn't really about that. I respected the situation that I was in. I valued the people around me and the community and the support. That meant more to me than some big name school and kind of being in the limelight. I didn't really care about that. So yeah,
now,
I did feel it and I felt it.
Now, of course, at the time, I think I would be certainly amiss if I didn't mention that's where you met your college sweetheart, who's now your wife and mother of your three children, Jenny. I mean, I would be amiss if I didn't mention her.
Well, she's the feisty one, man. So yeah, she. I did. I met her my sophomore year, and I mean, let's just be honest. That had a lot to do with me wanting to stay there too. You know what I mean? And if you hear her side of the story, that's the only reason why I wanted to stay at Utah Valley. But
yeah, I can hear her right now. In fact, she's probably saying that right now under her breath.
Oh, for sure she is. You know she's listening.
Oh, this is hilarious. This is so cool to have you on. We got about a minute or so before the break. We got one break this hour. We'll get to the NBA. I want to talk about the NCAA. Maybe we'll end here and then continue. There's been a lot of controversy, a lot of talk about paying athletes, NCAA controlling athletes, just shut up and play. You're getting a scholarship, you know, all across the board. You're a product of this. You've succeeded through this, but you know, what's your opinion of it? We got about 40 seconds and then we'll finish it on the other side.
My opinion is I think it's a joke, and that's just being brutally honest. I really do feel like there's so many creative financial minds out there that can come together and figure out ways to compensate these athletes beyond these donated scholarships. And there's post-grad annuity plans that they can put together to where when these kids get done sacrificing their time, energy, and efforts to the program, that they can go back and have at least some money that's put aside for them.
There's the music.
Something that needs to change. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's the music. There's the music. There's a break. We'll talk about that on the other side. I think that's really... That's a fascinating, and I've gone back and forth to this. I was talking to my cousin about this other day. I don't know, 6 months ago we were talking about this, and because it became a current topic again. I think it's important. I think it's interesting. Stay tuned. Ronnie Price on the other side. You're listening to The Power Hour, thepowerhour.com. Be right back.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's the Power Mall.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. You know about all the things at the Power Mall. We have a lot of specials. If you're worried about the virus, I think you should be. I think you should be prepared. We have great oregano products, natural things, Cass Ingram's protocol. We've talked about that extensively. The Oregaresp, the vitamins, Jason Derkovitz, Dr. Llewellyn were on yesterday. The question I would ask everybody is, if you are not getting supplementation vitamins from, like, Grown by Nature, not synthetic, if you're not getting them there, then where are you getting them? Because they're not in your food anymore. Unless you're growing your own food, it's organic, and you're controlling the soil and can test it and know, where are you getting it? Because nutrients, deficiencies, toxicities, that's really the two only causes of diseases. That's it. So if you're not getting it here, where are you getting it? And other great products, the Strauss Heart Drops, of course, the kidney support, all on sale over at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. Back with Ronnie Price, you know, his story is inspiring at the very least. I was blessed to be able to know Ronnie, you know, fairly well. We did a lot of things, played golf. I got to know his brother. What's Beams? Is he your brother-in-law, or it's like your sister-in-law's husband or something, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, my wife's sister married him, and we became close. So yeah, he's my brother-in-law.
Okay. Yeah, and I knew him and got to hang out with him. It was fantastic. Great people. Amazing to see this ascent. We're talking now about getting into the NBA, but before we're talking about the NCAA, there's a lot of controversy about, you know, should we pay players? You know, should we, like it's a national question or something. It's kind of ridiculous, I think, personally. I had another friend who was a pretty prominent college athlete, and I asked him about this one time. He said, listen, if they paid me $10 an hour for every hour I spent sweating for this school, I could pay for my own darn school. And after he told me that, and I could see the frustration on his face, even having the question raised. I got it. I knew it. If you're not connected with these athletes, you have different perspectives. But, Ronnie, you're right in the middle of it. You're a product of it. You certainly used the system and succeeded out of it. So people would say, okay, so what's wrong? What's wrong with this? Why do you have so many issues with the NCAA?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of issues. There's a lot of guys. I'm fortunate to be a small percentile that actually used the NCAA system to play the game that I love, and it actually allowed me to play further on in life and get, financial benefit from it. But there's a huge amount of the basketball population and football, baseball, just the sport population in general, that's went through the NCAA system, that were forced to be in certain to degree paths that were not of their choice because they needed the athlete to stay committed to the actual sport. And if it was a degree path that they chose, that would be time consuming, that would take away from practice hours, travel hours, game hours, things like that, they really wouldn't even allow you to pick the degree that you wanted to be, to move forward in. So no one talks about that side of it. And that's the side to where I have so many friends that have given their 4 years of their life to a money pit to provide these crazy income levels for college coaches and all the benefits of those sports, what they do for the schools, programs, and just financially is ridiculous. And then all of a sudden they graduate with this degree that has no leverage anywhere in the world because it's just a generic degree. And now they're in the real world, their body's banged up, and they have this BS degree, and they can't go and get a job.
This is this is a lot like, let me interject here. I know you're emotional about this. I know you have personal experience with this. This is kind of like, for me, the discussion in what was it, the late 80s, you started to hear this push about amateurism in the Olympics. Oh, they're amateurs. That was why the Dream Team happened in 1992. Professional basketball players actually got to play. And then it was so obvious, the hypocrisy of it in the Olympics and the money they were making. And then why can't we have professional athletes? It just became so self-evident after a while that this is such a joke.
Right.
Well, if this was 1940, and the NCAA was trying to really get off the ground and trying to do something and raise the tides for everybody in 1940, I can see a little bit of argument that everybody's working together so that we can make something and it's beneficial. It's mutually equally beneficial. Okay, this is not 1940.
Right.
The NCAA just signed I think 2 years ago, it was $750 million. I mean, you let that roll off your tongue, it's a lot of money. Say it slow. $750 million, which is $750 million a year, the NCAA receives for a three-week basketball tournament in March, March Madness. Three weeks. $750 million. Do not lecture me about the lack of money. It's ridiculous.
Right.
This whole issue is ridiculous to me at this point. Yes, there's opportunity. If Ronnie was a nuclear scientist, so to speak, and he invented something amazing in his garage, and he had a leg up on all his high school students, and people wanted him, Ronnie could sell his wares for whatever he wanted to. He could make a million. He could have made $1 million right out of high school. But because he had a basketball and the system is geared to then take it and funnel it and use it, he was at the discretion of the system. All he's saying, I think, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but hey, the system needs to really look out for these people a little more and be a little more concerned about their future if this is going to be a mutually beneficial relationship. I think that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And like I said, the easiest way that I can my mind, you know, can fathom it. It's like, okay, just a certain percent of the money that the NCAA or the school or whoever is making money off of these kids playing these sports for the university, a certain percent of that should go towards some type of financial post-grad plan, whether it is whether it's an annuity, however they want to structure it, right? There's plenty, like I said, there's plenty of these brilliant financial brains out there that can say, oh, look, 1% of that huge number that you're talking about, or whatever percent, whatever breakdown, let's just come to some type of an agreement to where when these kids get done and they have these terrible degrees that they're affiliated with, that they have a chance or they have access to money to where they can go back and actually do a program that they really want to be involved in. And whether that equates to $50,000 or $150,000, if it's $10,000, $20,000 each year, depending on how much money that particular sport brings in, there's ways of figuring these things out. And that's my only argument. Like, look, that's it. And go ahead.
Well, we live in America, and the lawsuit came up. This really got fired up lately because there was a lawsuit. I think it was the O'Bannon out of UCLA. The NCAA, not only do they use the talents of these athletes, but they use the images of them, their pictures, their numbers, their likenesses. They use their likenesses in video games or different things to make money off. I mean, now it's not just playing sports. So don't, it really bothers. I do not like people to get bullied. I do not like people to get taken advantage of. You know that, Audie. That's probably why I'm, one of the reasons I'm here on the show and the things we talk about. I hate for people to be taken advantage of. And, you know, at some point, well, wait a minute. I thought it was just about that you were providing a basketball opportunity. Why are you making money off my likeness now, my image? You know, God made me. My parents made me. Now, not only are you taking my talent, you're taking my image, and I can't make a dime off of it. And then you want to declare me ineligible if I do? I mean, this is America at some point, Ronnie. I don't want to go on this about this forever, but you kind of got me fired up on it.
No, you're right. But look, one of my biggest issues, too, is that the NCAA have silent partners, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. I've always been bothered with the fact that, one, basketball players and football players are forced to go to college.
I agree.
But every other sport there is out there, you can be a professional golfer when you're 14 years old if you're good enough. You can be a professional baseball player. You're not forced to go to college to play baseball. You're not, and there's no other sport to where you're forced to go to college and play except for football and basketball. So why is that? That's my only question. Why? Why is that?
Great question.
Why is there such this? Why? You know what I mean? So
let me answer it for you, Ronnie. Let me answer it. So you don't have to answer. Let me answer it for you. Okay. It's that way because it is to the best. It serves the best interests of those football programs in the NCAA. It's that simple. It serves their best interest. So then, if it serves their best interest, then why aren't you then have a mutually beneficial relationship with the people that you're taking advantage of for your best interest? It's really that simple, isn't it?
And, you know, look, the football argument, which I've had this conversation before, and I kind of agree. There's a safety issue that you have kids coming out of high school that aren't ready for that type of level of contact in the NFL, right? So my argument is, well, if the NFL team is willing to pay that player to come and be affiliated with their team so that they can develop them, you know, in due time to prepare them to get on the field, and that's on the NFL team. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like they can form a system and say, okay, we know this kid is young. We know that he's not ready to actually be, but he can be on our practice squad. We can bring him along slowly. We can put him in our weight program. We can put him in our system and pay him and compensate him. We don't have to wait for him to go and waste years on his body right?
And but put it, put his body on the line. I mean, let's just be honest. Exactly. This is football. You're talking about putting their future on the line for these programs.
Right.
Let's move off. Let's move off this
okay.
issue.
Yeah, I can talk about that all day.
yeah, we could. We only got about 10 or 12 minutes left. I really want to get into, you know, I hope that you come back on again so we can, there's so much we can talk about.
I would love to.
You're in the NBA. You go from being the superstar in college to being, you know, you probably feel fortunate just to be on a team. You're trying to fit in, trying to find a role. What's that like?
It was humbling, man. You know, being a scorer and then going into the NBA, first day in practice, you look around, you're like, whoa, you know, I'm with three NBA All-Stars, you know, old scoring leaders. Everyone can score. Everyone is special. Everyone is so talented and gifted. And then depending on your circumstance, as far as the team that you get drafted to or signed to, they're bringing you on their team for you to play a particular role. And they let you know that role pretty quickly when you're a young guy. And it's up to you to either adapt and become really good at that role, or you fight against it and you gamble and say, no, I'm not playing that role. I'm gonna show you that I'm this type of player and not that type of player. So it's a gamble. It's a little bit of a risk. And I chose to play around with it a little bit, but it ended up being to where I accepted and embraced my role and was and it worked out for me. And then you have opportunities to where you can showcase that you can do more, and that window is really small. You either take advantage of that window or you fall right back to the original role that, you know, they want you to play anyway. So it was unreal to see the amount of talent and to see, like, how smart these guys are. Just beyond basketball, you know, all the bad stories about these guys' decisions, some of my teammates and friends, but no one really understands how brilliant some of these guys really are in the good stories.
All right. Sorry about that, Ronnie. I don't know what in the world happened. Who knows?
Crazy. I don't know when I lost him.
The NCAA cut the line. You're in the NBA. You're trying to fit in, make a role. I don't know where you. That's kind of where we lost you. So anyway, you're in the NBA. Talk about kind of your progression in your career.
Finding my role and being the best at it, at least attempting to be the best at it. I knew that I couldn't control whether I made shots or had an opportunity to show, like, the offensive side of my game, but I did understand that every moment that I had a chance to be on the floor, I could control my effort, my energy, and how hard I played on the defensive side of the floor. So that's what I focused on. I focused on being in the best shape that I possibly could be in. And, I found a niche, and it lasted.
Did you feel like, you know, some people say, oh, he won the lottery, he went in the NBA. I mean, I think that's a stupid analogy in some ways, but you know what I mean? It's that feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm doing something so amazing that so few people get to do. Did you feel that sense of accomplishment, appreciation, or were you just so focused on, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to fit in?
Yeah, my first NBA game, I had a few moments. My first NBA game, you know, I was just filled with emotions. The first time I got the phone call from my agent telling me that the Kings wanted to sign me to a 2-year deal, that was emotional, of course.
And what did your agent say? How did that conversation go? Because that's really rare. I mean, it may be unprecedented. I mean, what was that like, that conversation?
Well, he just kind of made a joke 2 days before saying, like, hey, you know, if we get the Kings to sign you, you owe me a steak dinner. And I was like, okay. He's like,
sure.
You got to do your part. You got to do your part. I got to do my part. But if we get this thing to work, you owe me a steak dinner. And he called me and he just said, hey, so where are we going to eat? You owe me a dinner. And I was like, what? He's like, oh, nothing. You know, the Kings just agreed to a 2-year guaranteed deal. That's all. So where are we eating?
Oh, my gosh. That's
and I
cool.
just broke down. I just broke down crying and just, man, like all the pain, the tears, the ups and downs from being, you know, this little five nothing kid in high school with no scholarship offers to battling through all those mental battles, and it just everything just hit me. And then it hit me again during the national anthem, my first NBA game, just filled with emotions. And so I had plenty of those moments throughout my career, to where, oh, and then Garden Allen Iverson. you know, Garden, the guy that you looked up to, being on the same court with those guys, you kind of got to snap out of it, right? Like, man, I'm no longer this little kid practicing and trying to be like these guys. Now I'm competing against these guys. So then the competitive side has to kick in and be like, no, I'm trying to, you know, I'm out to destroy this guy. And good luck with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
What, as you, I'm just picturing this. This is, it's so surreal, even thinking about this. Throughout your whole career, what was the hardest player, hardest moment? What was your best moment? That kind of thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's too many to kind of pinpoint. I would say playing against Kobe in the playoffs when I was with the Jazz, playing against the Lakers in the playoffs, and that atmosphere it just gave me goosebumps. And then actually signing my contract to for my 10th year in the league, to know that I actually made that milestone of 10 years. All these different emotions and just knowing my prayers along the way, knowing the faith that I had, the spiritual side of you know, all of my thoughts and emotions, and just witnessing and being able to live out all these things that were childhood dreams, and knowing the amount of work that I put in and the amount of sacrifices that I had to sacrifice in order to be there, just to see all of those things come to play. It was, man, you know, I still get goosebumps and emotional about thinking about those things. So.
I get goosebumps listening to you. I mean, just, I can only imagine. I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, we only got about 4 minutes left. I mean, we're going to have to go into a lot of these things next time. Kobe, obviously, the tragedy happened. Kobe's helicopter crashed soon. There's been, you know, a shock and throughout the sports world. You played with and against Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant from the Lakers. What was your initial thought?
I loved playing against him. I loved his intensity. I loved the way he approached the game, and then getting to know him from a teammate standpoint, you know, realizing that, man, he was just a great human off the court. All those families that were involved in that crash, it was just heartbreaking. But I will say this, that was when that moment is one of the few times that the world, no matter what nationality, no matter what religious faith you have, where you're from, upbringing, that was the time that we saw everyone kind of come together and kind of grieve, you know, over one human. So that was a lovely thing to be a part of and to witness. And I hope that the feeling that hit home with people after hearing that news, I hope that feeling doesn't go away. I hope that people can continue to love one another and be there for one another. And it shouldn't have to take moments like that to happen.
Mm. Very profound. We got just about a minute or so. What should I ask you in this last minute? What should I ask you about your career, your experience, you know, knowing you back then? What would be a good question to ask you?
Oh man, I don't know. You've asked all the great questions, and of course, there's so many other topics to dive into. But I can't take any credit. I just can't. And I never will. And if I ever do, I need friends like you to slap me in the face. My faith in God, and my family and my friends and just people. I love people. I love learning about different aspects of life. And all of those things kind of make me to where I can be here and have this conversation with you today. And I hope this isn't the last conversation because, you know, we both know you're extremely passionate about certain things and so am I. And, I'm just grateful to be able to have this conversation with you, man.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. You told me you've been practicing at golf, so you're probably way better than me at this point because I never play anymore. But anyway, it's, I mean, truly, I'll say it. I've said it to you personally. I'll say it publicly in there. You know, I look up to Ronnie in a lot of ways, and you can kind of see that, can't you, audience? Why the person he is. So he'll come on every so often, however we have him. There's a lot of other questions I want to ask you, but time ran out. Ronnie, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
God bless you. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. George is going to come on. Scott Bennett talk about the virus, among other things, current events also. Stay right there, Ronnie. Don't go anywhere. God bless you, everybody.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.